Praise the Lord. Please open your Bibles with me to John chapter 5, verse 33. John 5, 33. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye may be saved. Now, emphasis, verse 35, says, he was a what? I want us to read it together. He was a what? He was a burning and a shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. The Lord bless the reading of his word tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at that same story about that same man called John in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. Luke 1:80. It says, concerning John the Baptist, the man who was a burning and a shining light that we just read in chapter 1 of Luke, in chapter 5 of Luke and verse 35. In Luke, in chapter 5 of the book of John, in verse 35, we read of him as a burning, shining light. What was the precursor? What was the starting point of John? In Luke chapter 1 verse 8, what does the Bible say? And the child grew, and he waxed strong in spirit, and he was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. I want to announce to somebody here today that God is about to bring about an accelerated growth process in somebody's life. That by the end of this convention, the wilderness and the desert that you had existed in shall be compressed into 5 days. And you shall be shown forth to your generation. You shall be shown forth to your world. You shall be made manifest to your world. Your world shall see you. They shall hear of you. They shall know of you. If there is a believer in the house, you shout aloud, amen. Please take your seats. What does the word burn mean? We're going to look at the word burning. That's the theme of this convention. We want to see what it means to be a burning light and to be a shining light. The word burning means to be set on fire. Set on fire. When we say that a man is burning for Christ, we are talking about a man who has been set on fire for Christ. I will enumerate the 4 points and then we'll look at each one of them one by one. And then we'll go on to the keys and then we'll be through for tonight. Number two. To be a burning light means to be hot. To be hot. Number three, to be a burning light means to be intense. To be intense. And number four, to be a burning light means to be urgent. Shining, on the other hand, is like a reflection of what a burning being is. When you are shining, you are expressing the brightness of light having been shone on you. Don't worry. If you don't get it, we'll get it tomorrow. We'll look at it in details tomorrow. I see somebody looking like really strange. But when you are on fire, shining becomes a natural outcome. So tonight we want to see what it means to be a burning light. We want to understand what it means to be a burning light with examples from scriptures and also examples from our contemporary days. Whenever you talk about a fire brand or a shining light or a burning light, who readily comes to mind is the founder of the Methodist Church. When his father passed, John Wesley was more like excommunicated from the church that he was in at that time. I watched a documentary of it some time ago, and it was a very, very horrendous experience. And when that happened, he had no pulpit. He had nowhere to preach. He set himself on fire, and then he went to the graveyard, the cemetery where his father had been buried. And he climbed on top of the father's tomb and stood there and started to preach. He was on so much fire. He preached with so much fervor that people left town and left where people were living and left churches and left where others were, and they came to the burial ground to watch a fire burn. When you are a man or a woman on fire, you cannot be easily hidden. You cannot be obscure. You cannot be relegated to the background. You cannot be considered an insignificant piece of statistical material. Today, I am here by the unction at work in this commission and by the anointing of God on my life to declare fire comes upon your life that will burn in your generation and shall leave a mark on the signs of time and eternity in your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We have come here in this conference to be transformed into firebrands. What does the first description of fire connotes? To be on fire, we said that we are looking now at the connotation of burning light. And we said number one is to be on fire. To be on fire means A, that you are ablaze. You are ablaze. If anybody has ever lighted a little fire in a village setting or something, you will observe that if you put your sticks, minimum 3 sticks on adjacent sides, and then you put some other little sticks to help the fire to kindle, you try to kindle it by introducing a little fire, and then you blow, you fan, you kindle, you try to ensure that that fire you are trying to build catches. We can truly say that the fire is burning when all the sticks have become ablaze. So when we say that you are on fire, every practical being of your life is ablaze. You are ablaze. Your talk is ablaze. Your prayer is ablaze. Your walking steps is ablaze. Whatever you do it not in a lukewarm manner, but you do it ablaze. B, to be on fire means that you are a heater. You are not a cooler. You are not an air conditioner. Any place you enter, fire, heat generated. Heat is generated in your environment. When people sit next to you, they can feel vital, literal heat of the Holy Ghost emanating from you. Enough are the days of men and women conducting their lives and their affairs in a cold and non-fireized form, in a cold and lackadaisical manner. From today, in your academics, fire shall be burning there. There's a student that is not saying a loud amen. In your academics, fire shall be burning there. In your business, fire shall be burning there. In your ministry, fire shall be burning there. In the works of your hands, fire shall be burning there. If you believe it, shout a loud amen. See, to be on fire means to be dynamic and eager. Means to be dynamic and eager. Anyone that has ever seen a little bushfire before? Have you ever seen a bushfire? If you are from Benue area, it's very common during the dry season. They'll be looking for yamamkev and yamtoho. That is bush meat and the other one. So they set the bushes on fire. If you watch it, the fire doesn't just burn gradually. It's blazing. It's moving from from shrub to shrub. It's just moving. It's under pressure. There's a lot of speed to the oppression of fire. Fire is not slow. Fire moves with speed. Fire moves with alacrity. Fire moves with urgency. Fire is eager to accomplish what it is meant to accomplish. And that is why somebody is about to receive the speed of dynamism and eagerness after today in the name of Jesus Christ. Please take your seat. And then D, fire, is being passionate and fervent. Passionate and fervent. I tell you something. If you watch God's servant, the senior pastor, he is always on fire. And when you see him minister, he is fervent. When you see him, he's passionate. Why? Because there's something burning inside that cannot permit him to be otherwise. Today, I see that fire and that fervency coming on somebody's life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at a practical illustration in the life of Paul the Apostle. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 9, Acts 13:9, and Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him. Verse 10 and 11. And he said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, therefore, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking whom to lead him by the hand. That is the oppression of fire. Paul the Apostle met somebody who was walking against God and speaking against God. And he challenged him and said, you of all subtlety. And he cursed him. And instantly the fire fell and the man was blinded. We are looking for people in our generation that will stand and they will rebuke demons and demons will flee. They will rebuke devils and devils will flee. People in our generation that we speak to the agents of darkness and arrest their activity by reason of the fire that you carry. Today, that fire is coming upon you in the name of Jesus. Number two thing that we saw as a description of fire is hot. Hot is to be hot. To be hot. I remember one of our children when they were small. The child always likes, in those days you light a little candle. Child always likes to take the finger there. Say, stop, he's hot. Stop, he's hot. The child won't hear. Every time you stop, he's hot. So one day I decided, okay, since you don't understand what I'm saying, go ahead and touch it. The child touches it. Oh, it's hot. It's hot. Somebody is about to be hot after today in the name of Jesus. After that day, nobody advised that child not to touch fire again. Why? Because the child encountered salt. God is about to make somebody hot, so hot that you will add an S to your hot in the name of Jesus Christ. To be hot means A, to be boiling. It means to be what? It means to be boiling. Have you ever looked at a boiling pot of water before? Is it quiet? Is it silent? Is there motion? Yes, there's motion. It's not quiet. It's not silent. And there is motion. You see the bubbles. They are bubbling. They are just moving because the molecular speed of the matter that was once liquid form has begun to gain so much speed that it is boiling and moving at a faster rate in that course being converted to gaseous form, and then it begins to steam. A man, a woman who is on fire, who is a burning light, you are boiling. Your life is persistently, consistently burning. You cannot be ignored. You can't come into a place and be ignored. You can't go to an interview and they look down on you. You cannot go seeking for favor and they turn down the favor. You cannot enter an exam hall for an oral viva exam and they are mopping at you without giving you your necessary grades. Today I announce to you, the last time you are rejected is the last time forever. That takes us to point number B, and that is steaming. A person who is hot is steaming. You already understand what steam means. It means that you are in a liquid state, and then heat was applied, and the heat became so much, it converted the H2O molecules to gaseous form from the liquid form, and then it cannot sit in a pot again. It cannot sit in a kettle again. It cannot sit in one place again. It escapes into the air in gaseous form as steam. It begins to move at the frequency of the air. I'm here to announce to somebody today that you are about to leave your liquid state and you are shifting into a gaseous format. You are shifting into a gaseous format. If there is a believer in the house, you shout a loud amen. What is a gaseous format? The gas talks about wind. It talks about breeze. Breeze cannot be stopped. Breeze cannot be arrested. Breeze cannot be curtailed. Breeze cannot be harnessed. You cannot cage breeze. If you attempt to cage breeze, it will blast the container that you cage it in. Today, you shall no longer be caged. The ancestral curses that followed your life, they shall break for your sake. The things that they could not achieve in your family lineage, you shall begin to achieve them. If you are a believer, you shout aloud, amen. Please take your seat. Any gas in the house, take your seat. Any wind in the house, can you shout wind, 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 wind? Some years ago, Daddy preached about a windy personality. I should have listened to that message to charge myself up. But you are wind. Tell your neighbor, you are wind. You cannot be stopped. You cannot be curtailed. You know when God's servant preached in the convention where he talked about the tornadoes and the hurricanes, you know tornadoes and hurricanes, they are winds. They are just winds that have become so prominent, so outstanding, that they have to be given a name. And I like the fact that the names are always women's names. Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane... Any woman in the house on fire here? Any girl in the house on fire here? Shout yes! God is about to use some women in your generation to bless the devil out of existence. You are going to your family compound and you are going to bless the witches and the wizards and you are going to uproot the things that held your family down. They said you cannot make it. God is about to cause you as a breeze, as a wind, as a hurricane to take over. Shout yes, Lord. Please, you may be seated. Woo! Let me tell you something. If you are hot, this is simple English. If you are hot, it means you are not cold. If you are hot, it means you cannot be cold. You cannot be just still. Where do you see the manifestation of cold the most? In human beings. In the mortuary. It's cold they used to preserve dead bodies. You can't be cold now. Tell your neighbor, I cannot be cold now. Ah, no, I am too hot to be cold. Tell yourself, I am too hot to be cold. Tell your neighbor, you are too hot to be cold. And D... Hallelujah. And D, you are not lukewarm. Let me tell you something. It is better for you to be either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. You don't understand. I saw it in the Bible. Look at your Bible, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Revelation 3:14. What does it say? And also unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I will that you are either cold or hot. What does the next verse say? So then, because you are lukewarm and you are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Somebody say, God forbid. God saying here, you are neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. What is the outcome? To be spat out of the mouth of God. To be condemned. To be rejected. To be ostracized. Why? Because you are not definable. Too many Christians are lukewarm. Too many Christians have one leg in and one leg out. Too many Christians are doing things in a very, very lukewarm manner. They are neither hot, neither cold. You cannot tell where they stand. When they are with a group of friends, they comply with that group. When they are with another group, they comply with that group. So when we are with a group that are people that are on fire, they try to act on fire. They try to pretend to be on fire. When they are with a group of cold people, clubbers and night party people, and people into immorality and fornication and adultery, they also lean in that direction. Neither hot nor cold. The kind of people that you see them in church on Sunday morning, and then on Saturday night, before they came to church on Sunday morning, they were out clubbing with another group of friends. And on Sunday morning, they come and they arrive in church with another group of friends. Lukewarm. One leg in, one leg out. God says, you are either hot or cold, or I spit you out. I want you to make up your mind decisively. Whatever it takes in this season, and for the rest of my life, I want to be identified by God as His child that is on fire for Him. I want to be seen as one who He can count upon, one whom He can trust, one whom He can send on errands and assignments that are errands and assignments that are qualified to be carried out by men and women that are on fire. There are some people He will not send to certain places. Why? Because He knows that if this one gets there, the lukewarmness of their life will bury them in obscurity in that place. God is looking for young men. He's looking for young women that He can set ablaze. Who will stay ablaze? Who will stay hot? Not men and women that are hot today, cold tomorrow. Hot today, cold tomorrow. On fire today, they let no more fire tomorrow. God is looking for people that are consistently, constantly ablaze. Tell your neighbor, I'm one of them. Tell somebody else, I'm one of them. I shall consistently, constantly stay ablaze for my God. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Please take your seat. Peace. It's a dangerous situation or a dangerous position for you to toy with your life. By being lukewarm. Stay hot. Stay hot. Some of us have been hot, though, for some years. From university days, though. In fact, from secondary school days. The other day I was discussing with somebody, I said, you know, when the devil knows that he cannot make you commit some kind of sins, he brings those kind of things, anger, malice, you know, those kind of insidious things, so that when the rapture takes place, you can miss it. I said, I won't miss it, oh. I will not miss rapture, because I will not go to the same hellfire with all those drug addicts, with the fornicators, the adulterers, the armed robbers, those that have been partying and gyrating and doing all that they want to do, and all my life I've been following God. No way. Ah, lie, lie. Somebody say, lie, lie. Yeah, no, never. Somebody say, never. I cannot be grouped with Adolf Hitler and his kind. In the name of Jesus, I shall be on fire. Consistent, constant fire. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Please, you may be seated. And then number three, we are getting close to our conclusion for today. Number three, this definition or description of burning for God is to be intense. It means to be what? Intense. What does intensity refer to? A is to be fierce. Is to be what? When you hear the word fierce, what comes to your mind? A lion. The Bible says the lion is a king, and he turneth not away for another. It begins from his mindset. He understands that he's in charge. He's not the biggest animal in the forest, though. He's not even the strongest animal in the forest. Do you know that the tiger, technically and anatomically speaking, is stronger than the lion? Do you know that the cheetah and which other one run faster than the lion? You know that the elephant is bigger in size than the lion. You know that giraffe is taller in height than the lion. You can continue on and on and on. So it's not in who you are or how you are, but it's in your understanding that you are a man, a woman on fire. And if you are on fire, you are a fierce being that is ready to be used by God to terminate the works of the devil. The lion. He's the strongest among. He's the fairest. He's the in charge by mindset. God is resetting somebody's mindset today. Can you help me do something? Put your hand on your head like this. Say, God, I'm ready for reset. Do creak. As you are doing creak, you're turning on. Creak, 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 reset. Shout hallelujah! God is resetting somebody's mindset in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So that says number two is extraordinary. Yes, people that are burning for Christ are extraordinary people. We don't expect you to be normal. Was it which day was that? I was ministering. I think it was the relationship meeting, and I was talking about how in the university we would go and pray every Monday. We'll go to the lawn tennis court at about 5 p.m. Once the bus arrives with us and we drop, then we headed there. And normally my reading group we start reading at 6 p.m. So we normally give ourselves like 1 hour, you refresh, drop your books, whatever, eat, blah, blah, blah. And then we all meet at the canteen. They were not cooking in the canteen again. So the canteen in the hostel area became a reading venue for those who are not disposed to going back into town to the campus to go and read, to the where the lecture halls were. So they would come on Monday and yours sincerely, Sister Becky, will go and join a group of others. Many times it was led by yours sincerely, Brother Paul. And so, wherever they were coming from, everybody came, and then we all got there and we would pray. Intercessions. Ra-ta-ta-ta-ta. You will pray until your anterior abdominal wall starts to pain you. I mean, you understand when you've done a gym or you've run or something and your muscles have been overstretched, you know that pain, the way you feel it in your thighs, when you start feeling it in your anterior abdominal wall, you know that you don't pray well. And would pray, yeah, sweat, and then we would go back to go and read. And when I get back to reading, when I arrive, the others, at the onset, they couldn't have their irritation. I don't know whether it's irritation or, I don't think it's antagonism, but it's like, look at this girl just wasting her time. Eh? We have MB coming and you are dead. Look and be looking very snobbish. As my habit was, the first thing I did anytime I sat down to read was I'd go with 15 minutes of my Bible reading. And I would read my 15 minutes reading for that day, finish, close my Bible, put it aside, and then I would start reading. Sometimes I say, what topic are we going through today? Anyone that wanted to answer me will answer me. Those that don't want to answer me, they are on their own. No challenge. I will read. The next day, we'll go and write a continuous assessment test. And I'll pass all of them. Including the leader of our reading group that is the one teaching all of us. My marks will be higher than them. Some of them that have not shifted from that reading table, they would fail the continuous assessment. When we come back, and me, I had this habit. I don't need to go and check board. I don't bother. Because somebody will come and give me the information. Say, Sister Becky, what do you used to do? You are cheating. When all of us, when all of us finish reading from here, you used to go to your room and go and continue reading. I said, you know me. I don't joke with my 6 to 6, my 12 to 6. I went and slept. But what was happening? The fire makes you what? Extraordinary. Mental what? Ventilation. Your brain becomes what? Ventilated by the Holy Ghost. What another person is grasping to connect, as soon as you cite it, it photographs your brain. It just downloads and it just remains there. I remember one Saturday like that, we had had like something like a night vigil or something like that. So semi-night vigil, because we know we're all students and we have to go to school still on Saturday. So I got in late to leave where we stay to go to the teaching hospital area. You have to go by transport. I got in late and the lecturer was already inside the class. But I saw a group of people standing outside the door. I say, hey, we came late, ba? They say, yes. So I tried to chook my head so that the lecturer will see that many of us are here, not knowing that activity has been happening outside before I came. They say, yes, Ibu, you're here. All those people are standing outside because they couldn't answer my question. If you can answer the question, I'll forgive them and forgive you and all of you will enter. So I said, sir, what's the question? He said, what is the meaning of CT scan? I said, computerized atrial tomography. I was wondering. I'm waiting for the remaining part of the question. He said, really? You got it? That's wonderful. All of you in the class, you didn't know the answer. And she came from wherever and she knows the answer. All of you come inside and sit down. But do you know what? I went and sat down and thought about it. I don't remember them teaching us. So it wasn't actually my mate's fault that they didn't know it. I don't remember anywhere that they taught us. It was not in any of our notebooks. I don't know where I got it. Holy Ghost! Somebody shout Holy Ghost! Hey, yeah. Somebody pray in tongues for another 5 seconds. Leko toko shakala da da ba. Leko toko sheketekele. Leka tala da 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 da. Leko toko shakatakala da. Leko toko shakala da da. Superior mentality, the mind of Christ. Leka takala da ba da ba da ba. Leka taka shata ya da da da. Leko toko sheketeke. Eka bara ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba. Leka takala ba da ba da ba da ba. Leko toko shata la da ba. Leko soto kobo. In Jesus' name. Please, you may be seated. Let's see how we can finish at least this segment before my time is up today. Yes, give him a shout of praise. Tell your neighbor you are becoming an extraordinary girl. You are becoming an extraordinary man. You are becoming an extraordinary lady. Three C's, concentration. When we talk about intense, we are talking about concentration. You see again, this description here still takes us to the reference of a lion. You know that it is said that the lion thrives by his ability for full concentration. And that when you want to catch a lion, present it with a stool that has four legs. I can't even use this chair as an illustration because the back leg is connected. Can you help me one of the red banquet chairs? Yes, that blue one. Yeah, correct. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You need to drop your book. You need to hold it up for my illustration. So, this. Hey, see the under of this chair. Ignore the under. So, when you want to catch a lion, you present it like this at his eye level. The lion will be looking at these four. And the lion is so created that he cannot focus on the four of them at the same time. He is very, very intense in the concentration ability. So he wants to concentrate on only one thing at a time. In the attempt to try and concentrate on only this, and concentrate on only this, and concentrate on only this, and this, he gets confused because he doesn't know which one to concentrate on. And because his focus is being distracted, you can walk from the back and just gently catch it. No struggle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come and be a lion. Pastor Ada, please help me be the catcher. So, you are this lion that is here, struggling to concentrate. He's just, even you as a human being, try and concentrate. You discover that you kind of get dizzy, right? You kind of get dizzy.
Yes, ma, that's true.
That's true. You kind of, because you are trying to focus on all four. So, catcher, you just come, you don't even need to sneak. And what? You catch him! Hey! God is about to make you catch your enemies. Thank you. God is about to make you catch those that have tried to be a distraction to you. If you are a believer, shout aloud, amen. So when you are a person that is burning, you are a person of deep concentration. You can take an object, you can take a subject, concentrate on it, trash it, and become the head in that area. You can take a project, concentrate on it, and become the head in that project. The last time you fail because of distraction, it is the last time forever in the name of Jesus. And I'm here to announce to one young boy, one young lady somewhere, that somebody has been distracting you and making you say, I love you, I love you. And it has been distracting you from your assignment. Today, I break that distraction from your life. I break that distraction from your life. If you are a believer, shout aloud, amen. Please take your seat. I think I also told a story about the young man who was an A student in his high school, and he was entering university on a scholarship to one of the topmost universities in the country. And then one girl came. He was in the choir, he was in the this, he was in the that, very outstanding young man. And then this girl distracted him, fell into immorality with the girl. His grades just plummeted, went down. At the end of the day, he couldn't get the scholarship. He now had to get a job in order to pay himself his way through the school. That job ended him in a disaster that his leg was amputated. 5-star of a human being. Life truncated because of distraction. You shall not be a victim of distraction in the name of Jesus. You shall not be a victim of distraction in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And D, under intense, is fervent. You are fervent and you are enthusiastic. Fervency and enthusiasm. Fervency and enthusiasm. Let's look at a reference. We've been looking at one reference at least in each of them in 1 Samuel chapter 17. That's what we saw. The spirit that was with David, and he charged out against Goliath. 1 Samuel 17 verse 48. 1 Samuel 17 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. What happened? Let's read it together. That David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Let's read it better. Read it louder from that part B. Okay. Let's read it from the beginning. 1 Samuel 17:48. Are you tired? We're just starting, oh. Hey, it's fire on the mountain this week, oh. Tell your neighbor it's fire, oh. Alright, so let's go. 1 Samuel 17:48. Let's read together. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran forward towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David did what? Prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. And he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. What did he do? Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the Philistine's own sword and he drew it out of the sheath thereof and he slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they did what? They fled. Every devil that has risen against you shall fly from you after today. If you are a believer, you shout aloud, amen. That was what happened. There was passion, there was intensity, there was focus, and there was tenacity as David charged after the enemy. What other people were afraid of, he ran towards it. He charged after it. I'm here to announce to you today, by the time you catch every fire you need to catch in this conference this year, you shall confront those things that confront others and they run away from them. You shall charge after your enemy and you shall overcome them. You shall confront the situations that confronted you before you came here and you shall have victory over them. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. And so, David conquered by the sheer power of burning intensity and fire. And finally, number four, to be on fire or to burn for God means to be urgent. It means what? It means what? Urgency. We saw that urgency just now in David's life. What did he do? He ran towards the Philistine. Other people were running away from him, but he ran towards the Philistine. The whole army, including August Saul, they were hiding inside caves, afraid of the giant that was ringing and talking and challenging them. Others ran away from him, but David, because of firepower, he did what? He ran urgently in a hurry towards him. So, number four, what does urgency connote? A, is to be desperate. One of the things that I've observed about God's servants over the past, this is more than 30 years now, I think I first took notice of him in 1989. I came into a meeting and he was the one that was preaching. It was during that long summer holiday that students normally take off and go home. But you know, medical students don't go home. So we were in the campus. And we were having our own fellowship because also most of the fellowships were not holding because other students were not around. So the Christian Medical and Dental Students Fellowship was going on. And I went in for the service. And I saw somebody preaching like out of this world. And I'm like, who is this guest minister and where did he come from? So the person I was asking, or the people around, said, it's one brother in here, so and so. I said, what? Okay, so I sat down and I listened. In fact, tomorrow I shall do an illustration for us of one of the encounters from that meeting. Don't worry, tomorrow I'll do an illustration. Praise the Lord. Anyway, cut a long story short. The desperation and the fervency of that time, it hasn't changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? If anything, maybe it is even more now. Because normally you would expect that as somebody is progressing and making progress, you know, you kind of start relaxing, you know, you don't need to pray and fast for money. You don't need to pray and fast for what food to eat. There's basically nothing that for yourself you are needing, but the intensity has multiplied. When we talk about people on fire, we talk about people whose intensity does not go down. It is a self-propagating and self-accelerating generating plant. There are times, Pastor, sometimes I'll text you early in the morning or late at night. Don't sit. I said, this is 2 a.m. I'm just going to sleep. That is, at that time, I haven't gone to the bed yet. I'm just informing you. So most of the time, maybe it'll be like 3 or so. I said, it looks like I might not be able to come for early. Will I seek you tomorrow? When that 5 o'clock knocks, my body will get itself up. As I'm trying to rationalize with God, Lord, you know, I mean, I'll pray here on my bed. But that thing inside, I'll get up and be on my way. The ones I don't text you are more than the ones I text you. Eh? The word is my bones, and I shut up in my bones like fire. All right? And I can't help it. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to pray. I want to commune with Him. It's a burning passion. It's an unquenchable fire. It's a desire that you cannot ignore. You need to come to that kind of point in life as a Christian. It is a self-propagating, self-generating fire plant that you need in order for the long run of the journey of life. I'm sure you know that this Christian race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long distance race. I remember in my secondary school, one of the topmost students that, you know, the type that you are, everybody's competing to pass her. So it's an only girl school. Everybody's competing to pass her. You pass her this term, next term she comes back. You struggle again, Pastor. So I said, what is this girl's secret? I realized that every evening she used to run around the field once. I said, okay, I've never run around the field once, but I'm going to start. Maybe it is the key of the brain. So after evening prep, every day, I would go and do marathon and run around the field. I realized it was a struggle at first. I don't think I was able to successfully complete the run in the first day I went round. You know, 400 meters, right? But as I kept to it, what was the result? It became a breeze. Although I later discovered that's not the secret of the brain. It's to sit down on the books. But what I'm saying is that life is not a little sprint that you do, 100 meters dash. It's not even a 400 meters race. It's a marathon. You keep on running it. You must generate the stamina. When you feel like giving up, you must come to a point where you stir yourself up again. And you are up again. And you are running again. And you are proceeding again. I want to announce to somebody here today, you shall not fall short before your time in the name of Jesus. Number two, or B, is drasticness. You confront things drastically. This house here now, this glory dome, it didn't need to be this big, but it is a drastic move. It's the kind of thing that happens in a person that is burning for the Lord. You do things drastic. You do things mega. You don't just excuse yourself and exonerate yourself. Number C is high priority. You place high priority on the assignments of God, on the agendas of God. It looks like today we're not going to be able to look at all the things, but I'll just name them, and then tomorrow we'll take time and settle on them. And then D is determination. Determination. You are determined to get it done. You are determined to live for Christ. You are determined to stay on fire. You are determined not to be a weak Christian. Let's look at Esther in Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Esther in Esther 4:16. Esther said, well, she said, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Next verse. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner courts of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gates of the house. Cut a long story short, he extended his sepulcher and she came in and she was able to make a headway. She did not slack when there was a challenge. That is how people that are burning for Christ are. I have preached it many times, majorly in women meeting or singles meeting, and I say that Esther did what was natural for her to do. It was her lifestyle to pray and fast. It was her lifestyle to be a person of intercession. It was her lifestyle to take 3 days without food and come and seek the face of God. So when she was confronted with a challenge, she did what was a natural habit with her. Beloved, you need to become somebody naturally disposed to fire generation. Tomorrow, we are supposed to have done that today. My timer is up now. We're supposed to have done that today. What are the things that you use to generate fire? How do you generate fire? Prayer, number one. Study of the word, number two. Praise and worship, number three. Evangelism, number four. A life of consecration, number five. Consecration/holiness, number five. These are the major things that we shall dwell on. And a life of sacrifice. Sacrificial giving. Sacrificial living. You sacrifice your sleep because you wanted to pray through the night. You sacrifice your food because you wanted to take a fast. You sacrifice your money because you wanted to give a sacrificial seed for a turnaround. A life of sacrifice. Tomorrow, we shall dig into them, settle on them, and then we'll move on to the next things that we have to do. Jump up on your feet this night if you are on fire for the Lord and you are getting on fire for the Lord, and give him a shout. Woo! Lift up your voice tonight and let us talk to God. I want you to tell God, Father, I want to be on fire. I think it is better to be on fire than to be cold. And it is definitely better to be on fire than to be lukewarm. God, I don't want you to spit me out of your mouth. I want to stay on fire. So lift up your voice and let us pray. Pray, pray, talk to God. Talk to God tonight. Father, I want you to set me on fire. I want you to set me on fire. I want you to kindle your fire in my life. I want you to set me on fire. Kindle your fire in my life. Father, set me on fire. Set me on fire. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be ordinary. I want to be extraordinary. I want to be a fire brand in your hand. I want you to use me for your glory. Set me on fire. In the name of Jesus. Tell God, Father, give me absolute concentration.
Give me absolute concentration.
Help me, O God,
to be the best
in all that you want me to do. Lift up your voice and pray. In Jesus' name. While I was preparing the message, one song like that just came. I'm trying to check it, whether I can remember it. I need fire in my life. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need fire in my soul. Holy Spirit, charge me up. I need fire in my heart. Holy Spirit, burn me up, that I may be an arrow in your hands. Can we take it? Does it make sense? I need fire in my life. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need fire in my soul. Holy Spirit, charge me up. I need fire in my heart. Holy Spirit, burn me up, that I may be used as an arrow in your hand. Take it to no times. I need fire in my life. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need fire in my soul. Holy Spirit, charge me up. I need fire in my heart. Holy Spirit, burn me up, that I may be used as an arrow in your hand. We ask, oh God, that by the time this conference ends, our world will not be able to recognize us again. Let your fire burn in us. And let your spirit flow in us. Supercharge us. And let your name be glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus. I don't want to take it or assume anything. If you are here tonight and you know that you need Jesus to be the Lord of your life, there are these little sins. Remember, some of the keys that we're going to look at tomorrow is a life of integrity and purity on holiness. And you know that you need to make your ways right with Jesus. Can you step forward here? Let me pray with you for a minute, and then we'll be getting ready to receive God's servant, Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche. Woo! You want to make your ways right with God? You know that there are little sins. Not that you are the worst sinner, but there are just little things that you need to set right. Step forward here, let me pray with you. Don't look for the first person to come out, because only you will stand before God on the judgment day. Nobody cares what your friend thinks about you. What is most important is who you know you are. We're not saying you're the biggest liar or you're the biggest anything, but you know that your ways are not 100% right with God. Why are you stopping her? Let her come forward. Come forward.
For I am undone, O Lord. And then I say, woe is me.
I'm waiting for you.
For I am undone, O Lord.
God bless every one of you.
Please leave
and to make your ways right with God tonight.
Me.
I believe that God will
right
mark you for good. He will put a seal of preservation on your life. Let show toko barada barabara. Let sete kele barabara barabara. Let osa kata barabara.
And then I say, woe is me.
For I am.
For I am undone.
I say, woe is me.
And then I say, woe is me.
For I am.
For I am undone.
Hallelujah. I'm so happy with you. I'm very excited at this decision that you've taken tonight. Not ashamed of anybody. Don't care about anybody. That's the way to go. And that's the key to fulfillment of life and destiny. I want you to pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I am sorry I have sinned against you. I have allowed myself to be carried away by the ways of the world. And I am sorry. Jesus, please forgive me all my sins. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Wash away my sins. Make me a new person. From today, I turn my back on sin. I will live to please you, Lord. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior today. And I receive an encounter with the fire of the Holy Ghost that will transform me and will place me in the realm of persistent, consistent fire in life and in destiny, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. I pray for you and I declare this decision shall remain with you and you shall serve the Lord in spirit and in truth, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.